So rejoice in the condescension of Jesus, what he has done, and everything in our lives must center around him. We're going to see more of that today in the message. Shall we go to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter? 1 Corinthians 3. Let us begin with verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? We will continue these messages which we began last week on spiritual growth. We saw how important it was to feed on the milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. But God never intended we should remain as infants by any stretch the imagination, he purposed that we must grow up into Christ in all things. And so our message today is on meat and milk. You will notice in verse 2, Paul says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. And we find out that we must come to that place where we begin to partake of the meat, the deep things of God, as we are going to discover. The first thing I want to see today is that all men that were ever born into this world or ever will be born into this world will find their place in one of only three major categories that are listed in Scripture. The first is the natural. You will find that in the 14th verse of chapter 2. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. That is where everybody starts. We are all born into this world in the natural. We are a part of the Adamic creation. And there is no escape or no difference for anyone. Don't want to say there's no escape, because there is. That brings us to the second one. And that is the spiritual realm. And Jesus spoke of that to Nicodemus in the 3rd chapter of John. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We are all born into the flesh. We are a part of the natural. But the moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are transported out of the natural realm into the spiritual realm. Then we come to verse 1 of chapter 3, where Paul says, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Paul could not speak unto them as spiritual. That is because, though they were born of the Spirit, they were in no wise walking in the Spirit. And so Paul had to introduce a third category, and it is called carnal. It means a person who is born after the Spirit, but he is walking after the flesh. It is a very undesirable category for people to be in, but this is exactly where that men go, where they must be classified, until they become spiritual and grow up into Christ in all things. They were brethren. There are so many times today that Christians begin walking after the flesh, and many just simply conclude, well, they lost their salvation or they never had it in the first place. That's not true. There are many Christians. Actually, the bulk of the church is filled with Christians today who are born of the Spirit. They are Christians, but they are still walking after the flesh, as we'll see a bit later. There are a number of traits. In fact, I want to see five major traits of the flesh, or traits of being carnal, that Paul mentions here. And so the first we see in verse 2, I have fed you with milk. This is a primary characteristic of a babe in Christ, or one who is carnal or fleshly. He must be fed with milk. And so Paul says, though you are brethren, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but carnal, even as babes. A baby Christian is the same as a carnal Christian. Now, we all go through it. You don't jump over out of the natural into the totally spiritual realm, just like Israel didn't come out of Egypt and just leapfrog over everything else into Canaan. Everyone has a carnal experience. Everyone has a wilderness experience. The problem is, God don't want you to stay there for 40 years. He does not want us to remain in a carnal condition. He must have us go into the new land, the new Canaan land. When Israel was in the wilderness, they feasted on manna. It's exactly the same thing as milk. It is baby food, but God doesn't intend for them to have manna all the rest of their lives. When they went into the land of Canaan, they began to feast on the old corn of the land, which is the meat of the word, and the manna ceased. This is what God is wanting for the life of every Christian, to come out of that brief wilderness experience, go into the heavenlies, and lay hold of the old corn or the fruit of the land or that which is the meat in Christ Jesus. And so this first trait of the flesh, the first trait of carnality, is that men are babes and must be fed with milk. Milk is just the basic principles, the basic fundamentals of the gospel. And we will find out there's no replacement for them. There's no substitute for them, as we noted in the message last week. But we cannot remain there. And so Paul says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. I wondered and have wondered for quite some time, how long had the Apostle Paul preached to these Corinthians? We're really not told, at least I don't know how long that may have been. What I do know is that he expected more of them than what he saw. He thought that they should be to a place where he could give them the deeper truths. But he said, hitherto you can't do it, and even now you're not able to take in these spiritual truths. Then we come to the second trait or mark of carnality. Verse 3, you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying. That is simply a trait of the flesh. The flesh is envious, always wanting something it cannot have. And this is what guides and actually controls many people today, and it will control a newborn Christian until he learns the way of victory over it. Notice the next one, which is strife, fighting, bickering. Oftentimes the strife is because a person is trying to get something God doesn't want him to have, and if others get in the way, then it's just too bad. They will fight with them. Strife is not to take place in God's program. Then there are divisions. This is a major problem. If you read the first chapter, Paul indicates this, that there were those in Corinth who were calling themselves by the name of the preacher under whose ministry they were saved. Now, we give honor to those people. We give honor unto those, and we are always grateful for the word of God that they have brought unto us. But none of them are our head, and we're not to be called by their name. But this is exactly what Christendom has done today. I am absolutely sure that those early apostles would be appalled to find churches, St. John this and St. Paul that and St. Peter something else. We are Christian. We are to be called after the name of Christ. Paul asked them, was Paul crucified for you? No, he was not. Only Jesus holds that place. And the Apostle Paul constantly would try, and he did strive to give forth only Christ. And then the last one that we find here is that you walk as men. I am absolutely appalled and grieved that the church is working so hard to be like the world, doing everything in their power to adopt the ways of the world. They've taken their music. They want to look like the world. They want to walk like the world. They want to adopt the principles of the world. The church has adopted the business principles of the corporate world in order that they can get as big as corporate America. God intended the church to be separate from the world. And yet, we find here the Corinthians. These babes in Christ were walking as men. And God never did intend for that to happen. Paul pointed men only to Christ. The rest of this chapter, in fact, all of Paul's gospel, as we've said before, simply centers around the Lord Jesus Christ. If you skip down to verse 11, you'll find that Paul makes his argument. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. The foundation, we'll find here in just a moment, refers to those first principles of the oracles of God, the basis of our lives, even indeed the principles upon which this very country was founded. And yet men are going away from those principles and that foundation. Paul wanted men to build upon it. And just as Jesus is the manna, Jesus is the milk, Jesus is the meat, Jesus is the old corn of the land. He is absolutely everything. And I want to notice today that Paul wrote to another group of people with this same glorious message. Let's turn to the fifth chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 5. And Paul has the same message to them that he had to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were Gentiles. And the Corinthians were as worldly and walked as men as we have just seen. The Hebrews were Jewish. They were Jewish Christians. And it is absolutely imperative that anyone studying the book of Hebrews knows Hebrews was written to Christians, not sinners. And so these are Hebrew Christians that Paul writes to. And we will pick up our story in verse 11. He says, of whom? And the whom refers to the first 10 verses where Paul enlarges on the priesthood of Jesus Christ, who was after the order of Melchizedek, as you find in verse 10, and not after the order of Aaron. The problem with the Hebrews was that they were babies, but it was because they were still under the law. They were still trying to find righteousness in the law, even though they had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is true in so much of Christendom today. Yes, I'm born again, but I'm made righteous by the law. No! There is but one way that righteousness comes, and that is by believing, by faith, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only for initial salvation, but for the fullness of the righteous life of Christ to be manifest in my life. And so we read here, of whom we have many things to say. It means those many things are things of meat. They are the deeper mysteries of God that Paul wanted these Hebrew Christians to go into, to study, and to appropriate for themselves. Of whom we have many things, that is, of Christ, we have many things to say. They are hard to be uttered. That's not because Paul didn't know how to explain it. He didn't know how to make it any plainer to them. It would be somewhat like trying to explain how that an infant or a babe is to drive a car. They're too young to understand. They don't know how in the world to identify with any of the things that you are saying. This is where the Hebrews were. They are hard to be uttered. It is hard to explain what I'm talking about because you are not grown up enough in Christ in order to understand. Notice. It is hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. That's another problem with carnality. The ear is not open to the Spirit and to the voice of God. If we are ever going to grow, we have to hear what He says. And so these Hebrews couldn't hear beyond the voice of the law. And so Paul said, you are dull of hearing. Verse 11 or 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers. One day the nation of Israel will be the teachers for the entire world. The Jewish nation will evangelize and convert the nations in the millennium. That will happen according to God's word, and God's word will be fulfilled. And so Paul says here, you ought to be teachers. Why? Because God gave the oracles of God to the Jews. We are so indebted to the Jew because it was the Jew who gave us the Word of God. God used them to write it down and to preserve it and to pass it down unto us. Because of that, Paul says, you should be the teachers. However, you have need that one teach you again. And notice what they have need that they should teach again. That which be the first principles of the oracles of God. This means that if a person truly takes in the milk of God's word, he has everything he needs to go on to the next step, which is the meat of the word. They had every opportunity and provision. They just made the decision not to go on. And that's what happens with carnal people. They make the decision, I will not go any further in spiritual truth. And so Paul says, you have need that one teach you again the first principles or the foundation of the oracles of God and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Milk is wonderful. Milk is very necessary, as we've seen. But a Christian feeding on milk will never grow up into Christ in all things. They will be carnal throughout the rest of this time in the earth. Verse 13. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And that is absolutely right. They don't know how to use the Word of God. They are unskillful. They don't know how to implement these things. Don't know how to lay hold of the power that these glorious treasures of Christ, traits of Christ, should be revealed in their lives. Verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Those who are mature will take hold of the strong meat, which is the depths of the mysteries of God. And they require, of course, the power of the Holy Ghost in order to reveal them and to make them a part of our experience. Everyone that uses this milk is unskillful. Strong meat, though, belongs to those that are of full age. And notice, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. If we have only milk, we are unskillful in implementing these truths and these wonderful treasures. But you will notice that the person who feeds on the meat has his senses exercised. That's his perception of the way things are. We have often said it, and it really is a scriptural treasure. What we believe, and I'm making it what it is, what we believe will be translated into our lives. If I perceive the Word of God, if I believe the Word of God, if I perceive what the life of Christ is and these traits of Christ is, if I believe that in my own heart, That is what will be translated into my life. Whatever you believe will eventually be shown forth outwardly in your life. And so, Paul says these that are spiritual, they have their senses exercised, and it is to discern both good and evil. Did you know that the church as a whole today seems like it doesn't even want to discern good and evil? The church today wants to pronounce, along with the world, that there's some good in everybody. Doesn't make any difference how you do it. Doesn't make any difference how you get to the end, just so you get there. Doesn't make any difference whether you abide by the Word of God or not. Doesn't make any difference. You need to love everybody. And there is so much ungodliness going on under the umbrella of love. And that is not God's way. Why? You will notice these people do not discern between good and bad. And so there is so much in our world today that is labeled good and proper and right, but it's an abomination in the eyes of God, and men are ignoring it. Amen. Now, I have said this many, many times before. You and I are not going to change that. Scripture is very plain that this is the way the world is going to go. The church is going to go this way. You're not going to turn them around. But here's the good news. We don't have to be a part of it. Amen. We can be turned around. We can be set free. Even though we are in a world that is corrupt, a church that is corrupt, we don't have to be that way.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And here's how. Chapter 6. Therefore. If you're studying the scripture, when you see a wherefore or a therefore, find out what it's there for. It is a connecting word. Paul is connecting what he has just said to what he's going to say. And he has just said, indeed, that there is a strong meat that we can have. There is also those who are clinging to the milk, and they're going to remain babes. But therefore, because these conditions exist, here's the way out. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, Paul didn't say forget them. We don't forget those principles. We don't forget those basic fundamentals. You can't. They're the foundation of our lives. But we have to leave them to go on to something greater. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, which means growing up into Christ in all things, coming to full maturity. A full-grown man in Christ. This is what God wants, and He's made every provision for us to do it. So let us go on unto perfection. And notice, not laying again the foundation. When he says this, he's telling us that the foundation of these things, that we're going to see six of them, the foundation's already been laid. You don't continue to lay that foundation and continue to preach the fundamentals and principles day after day and week after week and year after year. You don't continue to do that because the foundation's already there. It's time to start building on that foundation. It's time to start growing beyond what was produced in our lives. Simply by the foundation. And all six of these describe just a little bit about what the meat of the word is all about. This foundation provides repentance from dead works. That was so very important to the Hebrew Christians. Because the dead works you're talking about is all of those ceremonies and rituals and washings, all of these things, you can read about them here in the book of Hebrews, All of those things associated with keeping the law. This is what the Hebrews were involved with. Paul said, Jesus made the way to turn away from those dead works. The problem with the Hebrews is that they continued to observe the types and the shadows, as wonderful as they were, they continued to observe those after the reality of Christ Jesus appeared. That was the problem with the Hebrew Christians. They continued just to observe types and shadows, and the reality, Christ himself, was already here in fulfillment of all of the types and shadows and offerings and everything written in the Old Testament. And so turn away from those dead works. And then, this next one is a major, and it just unmeasurable. They had the foundation for faith toward God. Faith toward God means certainly a whole lot more than just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is something that will grow, must grow, through every and for every area of our lives until the day we be taken out of this world. There are depths of faith that we've not even plumbed yet. And we have the opportunity to leave the principles of God, the principles of the doctrine of Christ, rather, and to go on to the depths of faith toward God. And don't let faith scare you. Faith just simply means believe God, and we can do that. Believe God for the greatest treasures that he wants to give unto us. Then the third one is baptisms. One baptism is our death. This is the major baptism that we have in Christ, and all of them really are centered around this. But Paul records it as plural baptisms. He's talking about being baptized into death with Christ. You'll find that truth in Romans 6. We have been buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the grave, we also should be raised up in newness of life. So the doctrine of baptisms indicates, yes, we went down into death with Christ. His death was my death. But when he came up, I came up with him. I am raised up together with Christ. And when we take that place, we begin to see ourselves in a new light as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And again, it centers around him. Then there is the baptism that Paul speaks of. I think he calls it one baptism. The whole church was baptized into one body on the day of Pentecost. We are all one in Christ. That's what the Corinthians failed to see. They didn't recognize, feel, see, or enjoy that they were all one part of another. But we can today. And so we are one body in Christ, baptized on the day of Pentecost. And then there's the doctrine of laying on of hands. There are at least three separate reasons for the laying on of hands. They lay on hands in order to pray for the sick. They lay on hands in order to ordain men, ministers to the ministry. They use the laying on of hands to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. All of these are a part of the meat of the word. And then we come to the resurrection. Glorious truth of the resurrection of the dead. There is some real meat in this glorious truth. We find out, first of all, that the The resurrection includes both the wicked and the righteous. Those resurrections are 1,000 years apart. All of the righteous will be raised up before the millennium. All the wicked dead will not be raised up until after the millennium and then cast into the lake of fire. There is much to learn about the resurrection. There are different glories in the resurrection, as we find in 1 Corinthians 15. There are different rewards in resurrection. But we will never know that unless we grow and learn these things by taking in the meat of God's word. And then the last one, the sixth one, is eternal judgment. Oftentimes when people speak of judgment, they just think of the lake of fire out of darkness. That's included. But the word judgment simply means decision or verdict. And the word judgment applies to both Christian and sinner. We are very wise if we will allow God to make the decision or the verdict or the judgment in our lives. And then, of course, there is the judgment of the wicked. And that's the judgment that Paul goes into here. We're not going to go through this segment. It is wonderful. But from verses, I believe it's 4 to 10, are a record of judgment for the wicked. But if you go down to verse 9, the judgment of the wicked is from 4 to 8. But if you go down to verse 9, here is the decision. Here is God's verdict for these Hebrew Christians, the righteous. Believe me, God will have a different verdict for the wicked than he does the righteous every time. And here we find it, verse 10, or verse 9. I'll get there after a while. I'll blame it on this cold that I got. I'll blame it on hearing aid. I'll blame it on anything. Anyway, verses 4 to 8, if you're taking this down, verses 4 to 8 tell us indeed of the judgment of the wicked. Verse 9, we come to another of those very significant words, but. It means there is a decided change here in what Paul is saying. And so he says in verse 9, but beloved, he is not talking about the wicked anymore. He's talking to these Hebrew Christians, and God has a different verdict for them. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. The things that accompany salvation are all this growth he's been talking about. This is the deliverance that God has in store for them. Then notice another of God's decisions. Verse 10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Apparently, these Hebrews were very much interested in other people. They ministered to them. They poured out their love, and they met their needs as much as they possibly could, just exactly as we are supposed to do today. We are supposed to be people who show forth the love of God in trying to meet the needs of others and minister to them. God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Verse 11, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Paul is telling them, I would that you would show the same diligence. You minister to others, and that's good. Don't forget about doing that. Don't stop doing that. But let's show the same zeal and energy to what? The full assurance of hope. The full assurance of hope is all of the fullness of hope found in the Word of God. to the meat of God's Word, to the depths of God's Word. Leave the principles and go on to the glorious depths which we find in Christ Jesus, in order that we might grow up into Christ in all things. And it is to the full assurance of hope, temporarily, for a little time, when I feel like it. No, unto the end. Meaning until God has completed the full work in my life and has taken me home to glory. This is the mindset, this is the attitude that we absolutely must have in our lives if we are going to grow into spiritual manhood. As we read there in the fifth chapter of this same book, Hebrews 5:14, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Let's take our place as being full age in Christ Jesus.